Good afternoon. I'm David Coughlin. I teach in the Business School in Trinity and the area of organisational change, learning, action learning, those kind of things. And it seems to me, as I look at the programme and listening to some of the bits I've heard, that the flow of your day has been, first of all, to look at your area of competence, the area of dementia, and look at various, and you've had expert speakers. And then in the latter part, after lunch, you began to looking at issues of how do we coordinate? How do we use our expertise in service? And I suppose I'm bringing that together, standing between you and the bus home or the train home, to talk a little bit about organisational learning. Oh, okay, right, I have to make sure the technology works. I suppose the organisational learning, and I suppose what I'm really trying to get, I want to say a few things about organisational learning and pose a few questions so that you, like all good academics, I talk and you do the work, that essentially you begin to start fitting the kind of questions I'm asking into your experience of action learning, consortia, networks. I'm really trying to build a framework for that and pose some questions into the things you're already doing. I'm kind of giving you a little bit of theory about that to enable you to think a little bit more about what might you do, how might you go forward. And particularly the question that I just came in there, you know, should we stop now that we're doing well or something? Somebody asked a question there a while ago. Okay, the question really is, because learning is something that is predicated, there's a typo there, is predicated of the individual. Like we know about schools and individuals and teenagers learning and child learning and so on. But the notion of organisational learning is a fairly new notion and it's quite complex. And the question I suppose we want to ask is, how does individual learning, the learning that you might engage in yourself as a professional, how does that become organisational learning? So I'm kind of playing around with that kind of question. Because organisational learning is about the whole of Genio increasing or maintaining the capacity to act in the face of internal changing circumstances, internal and external. And it's what the whole organisation does, not just what you might do as an individual or what your centre or your unit or your service might do. We're talking about the whole organisation. And of course, that's kind of complicated, really. And I suppose the tension really is that we work together in organisations, but we learn individually. And of course, that's the tension in organisational learning, is how does my learning or your learning become organisational learning? And that's the frustration of it. Because we're all familiar with things. When things happen, we say, well, I knew that would happen. So in other words, individuals knew things that would happen, but the organisation didn't seem to have grasped that. So there's that kind of tension between the individual and the organisation. And this is a great quote from somebody or other, not me anyway. Organisations learn only through individuals who learn. Individual learning does not guarantee organisational learning, but it can't happen without it. So we're kind of playing around with that a little bit. Some of this stuff you may know already. Let me just talk about different types of learning. So before I talk about different types of learning, just mention that by learning we mean not just a notional idea, because we can learn lots of notional ideas and forget them. How much trigonometry do you remember from school? Kind of question, right? So we can really say we've learned something when in some way we can implement it and we can do something with it. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. And there are essentially two processes in any kind of learning. There's the actual learning process itself, which theorists refer to as exploration. But then there's exploiting the learning, in other words, using it. So we don't keep it to ourselves in some way. It becomes part of who we are, how we work, and so on. So I suppose we're really looking at how do you explore the kind of learning you want to explore or need to explore in today's fast-moving world and so on, changing world, and how do you exploit that for the betterment of your service and the people that you serve. So I'm going to talk about three types of learning. Don't mind the language. I'll talk to you about heating systems in a minute. There's essentially the type of learning that we use in routine work every day. You get a new computer, you learn how to work it. Get a new kettle in your workout, or a new toaster and you learn how to work it. And we're always learning like that. New things, routine learning, something happens, you fix it, it works. If it doesn't fix it, you find something else, and so on. You know, you turn on your light and the bulb doesn't go on, you say, well, if the bulb doesn't go on, maybe get to put a new bulb in, you put a new bulb in. Or you, first of all, you check if it's plugged in. And if it's plugged in and your light isn't on, you say, well, I'll get a new bulb. You put in a new bulb, you turn it on, it still doesn't go, so you've checked the fuse, you've checked the plug, you've checked the bulb, then you say, well, now maybe it's the fuse, so off you head off to the fuse, and so on. And you keep going after solutions that you think might work when a previous one hasn't worked. And that's often referred to in kind of my jargon, single loop learning. But there are other types of learning when you realize, I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried this, and we're still no further on. In fact, things may even be worse. So maybe we're asking the wrong question. Maybe there's something else we should be looking at rather than what we're looking at right now. And that's referred to as double loop learning. And the image comes from heating systems. Hopefully you've got your heating system at home ready. So at a certain time before you come home, it'll switch itself on. It's got a temperature gauge set, and it'll run. And then a certain hour late in the evening, it'll turn itself off. And then in the morning, it'll turn itself on, you know, 20 minutes before you get up, and so on. So you have hot water and so on, and then it'll turn itself off. And that's what the central heating system does. It can only turn itself on and off as it's been set. It can never say, am I the best way to heat a house? Should I be on at all or not? Or are there other? Can't ask those kind of questions because it can only ask the questions within the parameters that has been set. And we often do that. And that's when we try to fix things. But every now and again, we need to ask different kinds of questions. Are we doing what we really want to do? Is there a wider, more creative question we need to ask and so on? And that's called double loop learning. And then, but that can be a once-off thing. You know, we can have huge, great spasm or spatter of creativity. And then, of course, that becomes ossified and it's untouchable and we can't ask questions about that anymore because, remember, we did all that and we changed. But we need to be able to change often and all the time and so on. So that's a little bit about learning. So we might think about what kind of learnings are emerging from your various groups and your consortia and your networks and action learning groups. What kind of questions? Some things will improve a service as it is, and others may create a question about a service in a totally different way with different frames of reference and different paradigms and so on. I'm going to say a little bit about action learning because I know there's some action learning. Not everybody's doing action learning, but I want to say a little bit about action learning because action learning really grasps, for me, the insights and the values and the energy of, you know, practicing service people. And action learning is based on essentially a number of premises. And these are quite challenging, really. There can be no learning without action and no action without learning. So that kind of, and of course, that's so countercultural because when we're in school, we learn the bigger your notebook, the better, the more you've learned, so to speak. And here's a really challenging one. Those unable to change themselves cannot change what goes on around them. We spent a whole day on that, I suppose. Right? Now, how do we? Yeah. So change always begins with me in some way, rather than they should. And we're great, of course, at saying they should, whoever they are and whatever the should is. And in action learning, people work on real issues that don't have easy solutions. Revens, the creator of action learning, distinguishes between puzzles and problems. Puzzles is where there's a technical solution. If your machine breaks down, there's an expert somewhere who can fix it. But a problem is where there's no one single solution. We all disagree on what it is. We need to talk it out. We're all coming at it from different disciplines and different angles. And therefore, we need to talk to one another. That's where action learning is really good. And in action learning, people meet on equal terms, no hierarchy, report to one another, and discuss what we're doing and what we're thinking. And of course, the formula, those of you who like formulas, who are technical people like formulas, L equals P plus Q. In other words, learning is our own experience exposed to questioning in the light of some of the professional knowledge that we have. So there are times when we need to read more books, read more reports, of course. But then we put that alongside the problems and the challenges that we have in practice. And learning is bringing those together. So how do we build on what we know and what's our professionalism and some way then explore what we don't know? So action learning is fundamentally about conversation, and that's why I really enjoyed that video there, because it was about conversation. Because we tend to think of change being about changing this, that, and the other, but ultimately it's about conversation, about how we think, what we do, and that leads to changing, of course, what we do. And of course, in action learning, we sit together and we listen to one another about what our experiences are. Not debating, not, I suppose, coming out with our usual party line, but basically saying, well, here's what happens for me when I do this. And let me try and understand you when I hear you tell that story. And I'll tell you my story, and you try to understand me. Now we've the basis for exploring together. Normally we're in debates, and we think of committees and things like that. And there's a place for those too. But in terms of action learning and exploring, it's that kind of conversation. So how do we learn to ask fresh questions? How do we learn to kind of unfreeze assumptions that seem to be embedded, that double loop, asking the question that nobody else has asked, we don't think of asking? How do we create new connections and new mental models, ways of thinking about things? And challenging the usefulness of the program knowledge. Reports come out say we should all do this, this, and this, but when you look and you say, well, that doesn't quite work here, it's not as easy as that, so now let's, we have something to talk about. And we admit that we don't know the answers. And of course, if we're in a safe environment with peers, then we can say we don't know the answer. That we are ignorant in some way, and let's be ignorant together and explore answers and so on. Ignorant in the sense of not about our discipline, but about where what we might do. And therefore, we get insights into how things are. And really, it's about reflective conversation. Conversation that actually look at what we're learning, what's happening. Because a lot of our conversations are unreflective. We talk at people, and we listen against people, and all those kind of things. And how do we take a perspective of the whole situation rather than my angle, my corner, my discipline, my desk, so that we can engage in double loop learning? So that's the potential, really, of things like action learning and your consortia and so on. So now that was kind of leading up to what then about individual learning becoming organizational learning in some way? And of course, the way we learn is we have some kind of experiences. Things don't work or things work, whatever it is, and we understand them, we get an insight into them, and we say, yeah, this was good, I'll do it again, or I'll try this again or something. And we bring it. But if we want to change practice, then we have to bring, we typically bring it to our team or our colleagues, and we say, hey, look, this is what I've found. And they might say, you're off the wall a bit now, come on. Or they might say, well, tell us more, whatever it is. And therefore, when we go from the individual to a group, then we engage in conversation and we question. People may deny it and say, no, that's rubbish. There's nothing wrong with what we are. We're okay the way we are. And we can have a lot of that. Or we can dodge it and say, well, I can't do anything about this until I get more training. Right? In other words, we find another way of being peripheral to it. But ultimately then, as a group then, in some way we engage in saying, yes, what is this about? Is it useful to us? Can we learn? What are we learning? And so on. And then, of course, that group then, it might be a small group in a centre in part of the country or part of a service, particular service, that then may have to talk. If we're talking about organisation learning, we'll have to talk to other groups. Maybe groups doing the same service in another location or whatever. And then we go through the whole thing again. Oh, God, what are they at again? Here, these crowd have nothing else to do but give us more work to do. And we have to work through all that, any prejudice they might have about other groups or other teams or other disciplines, that has to be listened through and worked through again, conversation, questioning, coping with the denial and dodging if it's a new idea and very fresh and challenging in some way. So that in some way then we get to the organisation then where we some way try to institutionalise, like you've institutionalised consortia and networks and so on, to become our way of doing things. For the moment, listening to the question that was being asked as I was sitting at the back there, reviewing a paper for a journal at the moment, and it's all about learning and learning organization. And this guy, they had this group, kind of a reflection group from different people from different units of the organization, and they met for 15 years. Now, it wasn't the same people met for 15 years, but the reflection groups met for 15 years. And obviously different managers, people came in and out of roles and people retired and so on. And now they've stopped it. And the question was, why have we stopped it? And partly it's because, it went past its sell-by date. People said, oh, God, I've got to go to this meeting. While the people who set it up, it was something really exciting and rich and so on. So I suppose you have to renew everything. Not sure there's many ways, exciting ways of making toast in the morning, but sometimes you have to refresh yourself for things you do regularly and find new angles on it. And maybe there's a new question or bringing in new people and so on. It becomes who we are, our standard operating procedure and so on. And therefore, we need to have growing literature now on learning mechanisms. And learning mechanisms are where we build in ways of trying to sustain what we're learning. And one way is a cognitive way, and it's the language we use. So we might talk about action learning. We might talk about consortia, networks. We may even have symbols and logos, and people use that language, and it kind of changes things for people. So the whole way we use language and kind of cognitive stuff is useful. There are also structures. So certain kinds of groups are set up, and there are certain, like a meeting like this, if it happens every now and then, regularly. So there's organizational structures and various types, maybe email or intranet sites or blackboards or whatever, and they're all structures that we can tap into and exchange ideas and all those kind of things. And then there's procedures we need to have that promotes learning. I suppose asking organizational learning questions is new. We're not trained that way. We don't necessarily think that way. And what I think is very exciting for me from my kind of introduction to Genio over the last while is that you're doing that kind of stuff, but maybe you don't know what you're doing. It's like the man who was it in Sheridan didn't realize he was speaking prose all his life. So it's asking learning questions, organizational learning questions, is new and involves a kind of a mind switch, a mental switch to be able to think that way. But asking how we can be an organization that learns is radical and really transformative and is so rich with great potential. And there's no one answer. There's only the answer you create and enact.